This morning's message is entitled, The Prison of Want, based on Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come with me to the most populated prison in the world. The facility has more inmates than beds. No prison is more full. No prison is more permanent. Most inmates never leave or escape. They serve a life sentence. The name of the prison? You'll see it over the entrance, written in cast iron letters. W-A-N-T. The prison of want. You've seen its prisoners. They are always in want. They want something. Something bigger, nicer, faster. They want. They don't want much, mind you. Just one thing. One new car, one new house, one new spouse, one new job, one new investment, one new toy. If they could just get it, they'd be happy. And they're right, until the new car smell passes, the new house needs work, the new spouse has bad habits, the new job gets old, the new investment goes south, the new toy breaks, the new plan fails. Soon, the sizzle fizzles, and the person returns to the prison of want. Are you in prison? You are if happiness is always just one thing away. You are if your happiness comes from something you deposit, drink, drive, or digest. Then you are an inmate in the prison of want. That's the bad news. But the news gets worse. Stubbornly dwelling in the prison of want can shut you away from the one who alone can set you free, for this life and the next. The good news is you have a visitor, and your visitor brings with him your parole from prison, your walking papers. Your visitor is God's messenger, King David, the divinely inspired writer of the 23rd Psalm. He sits with you in the prison visitation room. He leans across the table and speaks clearly to you. I have something wonderful to give you. God's gift to you. Your freedom from this prison. The secret to lasting satisfaction and peace. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In this timeless passage of Holy Scripture, David, the former shepherd, tells us that God has provided the green pasture where want is no more and discontent melts away. It's as if he is personally telling each of us, what I have in God is far greater than what I think I need in life. Could each of us learn to say the same thing? Think for just a moment about the things you own, the house you have, the car you drive, the money you've saved, the things you collect, the treasures you've inherited, the things that fill your every storage space. Envision all your stuff. Now, permit me to remind you of two truths of Holy Scripture. Number one, your stuff isn't yours. Ask any funeral home director, hearse driver, or grave digger. You can't take it with you. No one takes it with them. When one of the wealthiest men in history, John D. Rockefeller, died, his personal accountant was asked, how much did Rockefeller leave? The accountant replied, all of it. Holy Scripture puts it this way in Ecclesiastes 5:15. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so shall he depart, and he shall take nothing with him from his labor, which he can carry in his hand. Truth number one, that stuff is not yours. And number two, all that stuff is not you. Who you are has nothing to do with what you have. Who you are has nothing to do with the car you drive, or the clothes you wear, or the house you live in. If a fire or a flood or an earthquake destroyed your stuff, it would not destroy you. If emergency rescuers made it to where you or your loved ones were as the waters or the flames were rising, would you yell, "Save me," or "Save my stuff"? "Save my child," or "Save my stuff"? Jesus said it this way in Luke 12:15. One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. God does not know you as the fellow with the nice suit, or the woman with the big house, or the teenager with the newest, most expensive electronic gadget. God knows your heart. In Samuel 16:7 we read, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." When God thinks of you, he doesn't think of your things. And when you think of you, you don't have to either. If any of us define ourselves by our stuff, we lock ourselves up in the prison of want. Contentment and freedom are God's gifts when by simple trust in him, we declare with St. Paul, "I have learned to be content with the things I have. I know how to live when I am poor and when I have plenty. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There's the key. I can't do this on my own. My contentment doesn't come by my own effort. I can't write my own parole from the prison of want. Contentment and freedom only come through Christ, who strengthens me. Or as Paul says it elsewhere, "Christ in me, the hope of glory." David in the 23rd Psalm put it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There is a story about a woman with leprosy on the Caribbean island of Tobago. A missionary met her while on a short-term mission trip. On his final day there, the missionary was leading worship in the leper colony. He asked if anyone had a favorite song. A leprous woman raised her hand. Due to her leprosy, she had no ears, no nose, and her lips were gone. But she asked, "Could we thank Jesus and sing, 'Count Your Many Blessings'?" The missionary started the song but couldn't finish as the others kept singing. Not long after the singing, someone commented, "I suppose you'll never be able to sing that song again." He replied, "No, I'll sing it again, just never again in the same way." My friends, what you have in Jesus, your good shepherd, is greater than what you don't have in life. Let's look at this truth a little more up close and personal. How would you fill in this blank? "I will be happy when," fill in the blank. "When I am healed," "When I'm done with school," "When I am promoted," "When I am married," "When I am rich," "When I am retired," "When I am popular," "When everyone agrees with me," "When I enjoy my job," "When my children do as I say." Now, with your fill-in-the-blank answer firmly in mind, answer this. If your ship never comes in, your dream does not come true, your prayer is not answered as you want it to be answered, could you be content? If not, then perhaps the door to your prison cell of want is still locked with you inside. But here comes someone to break you out of jail. He is your good shepherd. You have a shepherd, a heavenly Father who is watching over you, a Savior who loves you and has given his life for you, the Holy Spirit within you. You have forgiveness for every sin, God's strength for every day, his direction for every turn, a candle in every darkness, an anchor in every storm. You have heaven's gentle whisper and an empty tomb's ear-shattering shout that you do have everything you really need. As David says it so simply but majestically, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because God loves you. Yes, you. You have everything you really need. And who can take it from you? Can cancer destroy your salvation? No. Can financial challenges bankrupt your prayers? No. Can an unfulfilled dream or a wrong turn in your life make your Savior stop loving you? No. A storm may take your earthly house, but can it touch your heavenly home? Once again, no. There was a man who went to his pastor for counsel and prayer. He was in the midst of a big financial challenge. "I've lost everything," he said. The pastor replied, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear God doesn't love you anymore." "No," the man corrected him, "I still have God's love." "Well then, I'm sad to hear that you've lost your faith." "No, I didn't say that either," said the man. "I haven't lost my faith." "Oh, I'm sorry, you've lost your salvation." "That's not what I said," replied the man. "Nothing has touched my salvation." "Well," the pastor observed, "you have God's love, your faith, and the gift of salvation. Seems to me you've lost none of the things that really matter. Now, my dear brother, let's talk about your money problems." My fellow children of God, we haven't lost what really matters. We are not in need of what really matters. Look at that cross above the altar. Look at the one who loved you and gave his life for you. Look at the one who has paid for all your sins, defeated the devil, won eternal victory over death. He is Jesus, your precious Jesus. St. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:6, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." When the Holy Spirit, through the proclamation of God's word, touches our heart and opens our eyes, we can surrender to God the heavy baggage of want and discontent. And we don't just give up something, we gain something. What will you gain with godly contentment? You may gain your marriage. You may gain precious hours with your children. You may gain your self-respect. You may gain a renewed faith to declare from deep within your heart, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Yes, indeed, Jesus has opened the prison door, setting you and I free from the prison of want. In the name of Jesus, amen.